G'day, it's Daniel Harford. Welcome to the Best of the Breakfast Club on RSN 927. It was jam-packed. Check it out.
Lots to get through, and let's get to it. Adam White has made the way out to the Heritage Golf and Country Club. Good morning to you, Whitey.
Good morning. This is the third time we've done this.
It is.
And we've had some really interesting discussions and a lot of interesting chats with players, or former players. As you said, they make their transition from player into the real world. So looking forward to today. I've just seen quite a few times a chef walk past. Have you seen that?
I haven't seen the chef. I must admit, I've been focusing.
Making me quite hungry.
Why is it making
you hungry? Well, we are in a hotel situation.
So. Well, this is a little lodgy type activity here at the
Did you see the kangaroos when you walked in?
No, I didn't see kangaroos. I walked. Where'd you walk from?
Drove. Walked. You saw them as the sort of the bouncing away into the background from the car park.
Car park's underneath, mate.
No, I didn't park it.
I came up the stairwell. There's no kangaroos in the stairwell.
All I'm impressed with is Scott Gullen, who has made the 4.5 hour journey to get here. For me, it's only 20 minutes. But for Scott, it was 4 hours and 20 minutes.
Well, 1:30 departure it was from Bowen Heads this morning, apparently. Great to have the great man with the Herald, from the Herald Sun with us. Good morning, Scotland.
Hello, Daniel.
Now, is it true you caught a plane from Avalon to Tullamarine and caught an Uber from Tullamarine?
I don't even know what an Uber is. But yes, no, this is... There's a few... It was an interesting journey, a few wrong turns that I went to the... What was it, the back route to this wonderful establishment?
Jumping Creek Road.
It's very dark around
there. Warrandyte to Wonga Park and through.
Street lights aren't a thing. You know,
for safety. Where you were going.
For safety. It's a lot of trees, too. They need to clear a bit of greenery. So, no, I'm...
Not a lot of ocean, either.
You went through the green wedge. There's no clearing of trees.
Oh. And when I went to bed, it was 28 degrees in God's country. And I'm here, and it's horrendous.
Yes, we're seeing a change in the weather. From yesterday.
No.
Well, was yesterday the change from what's been
possibly
previously? It's not a great week.
No. Visions of playing golf have gone.
Golf?
That's not going to happen.
It's going to be difficult today. And there's supposed to be cricket on the MCG and a man's supposed to be there.
It's not. It's okay.
Well, I'm not sure.
Are you commentating?
Yep. It's okay. I'm looking forward to it today.
You'll have to leave the show in about an hour to go for the toss. You've got to pick the team.
I'll take a photo of the wickets.
Yeah, I'm meant to be giving some caps out to the debutants.
McGurk, what's his name?
Stretch.
Fraser McGurk.
McGurk.
It's a great name, McGurk, isn't it?
Well, Fraser McGurk will
play
it.
Who you didn't know yesterday, Sutherland to be fair.
No, I know a little bit about him, but I haven't seen a lot of him play.
So you're picking Will as well?
Yeah, he's definitely in the 11.
Oh. There you go.
We picked that last night.
Does so he know that yet?
I'm not sure. No, but he does. He's in. I think it's a great opportunity for Victoria to do this because if you look at the team that they selected for that first game against, against South Australia,
emotional.
It was very
big
very
names
strong team.
Everywhere.
There was Matt Short missed out on the 11, but with a few players missing for mental health reasons, a few players playing in that Australia A team, all of a sudden it's opened up all sorts of opportunities, and they've gone with youth, which I think is good.
You won't be there by 10:30.
Oh, no, at all.
Easy. We're off here at 8:30, remember?
Normally have to be the one to give Marcus Harris his throwdowns, but he's over in Perth, so I don't have to rush so much.
Well, he won't be batting for a while, so he might as well, because Pakistan have just decided that they want to punch us up. 3 for 336 in 90 overs. That's pretty good. When you consider that our man, Steve Smith, is 59 off 217 balls. 59 off 217.
Yeah, he hit a couple of sixes too.
And he did too. And then we've got my man Babar, who I can't get enough of, who's 157 off 197.
Are you across the footage, the live television?
I watched it, yeah.
How's the camera work?
Oh, well, I mean, it is...
If there's a snick to slip, you only get it on the replay.
Yeah, it is...
The one camera shoot situation.
It is,
but there's no adjustment.
Stream.
Well, it's the stream. Yeah, it's what you'll see kind of at the MCG today.
Fixed camera.
You watch the batsman. Oh, something's happened, but then you've got to go wait for the replay to see what actually happened.
You've got to give credit to Fox in the sense that they have put it on.
Something. Yes,
I must confess, when I put it on, I thought it was going to be a proper coverage.
Yes. Oh.
and it's and, well, you know what I mean. Like, it was a proper television coverage, but it's just a stream coverage. But at least they put it on.
No,
and they've got and they got Gilchrist and Hussey and
commentating
it.
Brad
so
Hogg.
Are they the venue, or are they perhaps in another venue?
No, I don't know the answer to that.
I think they're all local WA.
There's a lot of other venue calling going on these days, isn't there?
There has been
a lot of other venue, not quite where the game is.
A lot of stations are guilty of that. Not what? Ours. We go anywhere. Hence why we're here in the middle of wherever we are.
We're 35 kilometres outside Melbourne.
I know, you're big on that. You're talking about, you want me to move here, don't you?
It's a long time.
Well, I'm proud of this area.
He keeps telling me it's 20 minutes to the CBD. I don't believe it.
Well, not from here, from my house.
It's 2.5 hours from the CBD.
No, but I think it was good that it was on, but I was a bit of a... Well, okay, it is actually the stream. So it wouldn't be much different watching it on the computer, but at least it was on, better than most things that are on television.
Your boy Riley Meredith, I watched about 5 minutes. He was bowling very quick pies, and then he got a wicket.
Yeah, he got stuff. No, but I mean, they were 3 for 30, and I thought, oh gosh, on that wicket they're going to be all out for 150. So we know Shafiq Daniel is someone that did quite well against Australia.
Asad Shafiq.
Last year, yeah. Remember, not last year. Last time Pakistan were here, Shafiq was the one that almost got them over the line in Brisbane.
Yep.
And Babar Azam, who is clearly Pakistan's best player. But he's only got one test century with 11 half centuries and four first class centuries and 750 half centuries.
Well, he's got concentration issues then.
Yeah, so it's good to see him get through and get 100.
Way too good to be not having more centuries than
one. No doubt about that.
He's got concentration issues and we need to get in his head, is what we worked out after yesterday. Lots of runs on a day one pitch there at Perth Stadium, up to Stadium in Perth. 3 for 336. Long day in the field. Michael Nisa, 1 for 49. Riley, your man. Bolts Fast Pies, 2 for 73.
Oh, he's getting clobbered.
Off his 12.
Oh, he's getting clobbered, and then he got a wicket. It was hilarious.
2 for 73 off 12.
He was his half trackers. See you later.
In a tour match.
Yeah, he didn't have his length right, I believe, is the terminology.
No, he seemingly didn't have
his length. That's not ideal for Australia, because they're going to keep batting. And the bowlers are set for the test, so we're not. These guys are practice. They're not getting picked. It's the batsmen we care about.
That's true.
So the packies are laughing, going, oh.
That's a very good point.
And we'll bat till twilight today, and then we'll put them in under the seamer.
We'll just bat for a day and a half.
Yeah,
if we can last that long.
Genius.
And the other Shield games, by the way, while we're talking cricket, what about Jakey Weatherall's run?
Is he on your radar?
Zero, and then he was 21 and 30 or something. He's 1 and 0, and now he's 195 not out.
Well, he was on my radar 12 months ago, but he had a really poor summer last year when he was quite close to selection. I mean, he's someone that does like to get after the bowling, but he just hasn't done it consistently in the last 12 months. So that performance sort of came out of nowhere. The other guy there...
Henry Hunt.
Who's
132. By the way, South Australia 1 for 359 after day one. That's a lot of runs too.
Is that Adelaide Oval?
That is at the Adelaide Oval.
Henry Hunt is a good young player. So he's from New South Wales. He moved across because he couldn't get a game for New South Wales. He batted really well on debut against Victoria in the first game on the Hume Highway when they played at the Junction.
So he made 100 as well?
No, he got 70-odd.
Failed really nicely.
Really not. Very, very good technique. He was a good player. So, yeah, there's a few good young players.
Everyone's raving about that kid in WA, is it? Who made the 100 on the weekend, batting at 9 or 10. And
oh, yeah, he's a good player.
What's his name?
Green.
Yeah, they're all suddenly...
No, but he can do both.
He bowls quite well.
Yeah, no, he's a good player. True. An all-rounder.
Is his mum Teresa? Teresa Green.
Teresa Green.
What?
No, it's an old gag.
Trees
are green.
We can go with that.
Josh Adokar loved it. It's a great gag. Trees are green. It's an old schoolyard gag.
Back in the old days.
Heard it. It'd be prominent out here.
Well, that's what I mentioned.
What school did you go to? You went to private school, didn't you?
No.
Yes, you did.
Anyway.
No, it wasn't private school.
What school did you go to around here?
I went to Anderson's Creek Primary School.
Then he went to Kerry, the private school.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that's where I was.
New South Wales 2 for 221 in their first day's play against Western Australia at the SCG. Steve Smith, as I mentioned, 59 off 217.
Daniel Hughes.
So he just used that as a net.
He did.
Yeah, I've been
selfish.
playing T20 cricket where my, you know, I've been going a million miles an hour. I just need to bat for a day. Mm. So I'll just do that.
Change
and,
my focus.
And I'll be ready for the test next week.
Why is Warner not playing? Too tight.
No, his daughter has been sick.
Oh, that's no good.
So he's not playing that game as a result of that.
That's no good.
That's no good.
Moses Henriquez, 43 off 66. He's not out. Daniel Solway, 65. Daniel Hughes, 53. He was one that was in the mix, wasn't he, for a little while? Daniel
Hughes.
Yeah,
they're talking him up.
More one-day player.
And then...
he's done better at one-day cricket.
Hasn't performed at the level often enough this summer. So perhaps is off the radar. Did you know, Scotty Gunn?
Oh, I would have.
That... Eddie Pepper ran out of golf balls.
Yeah, great story.
This is a great story by you. This is sort of tin cup stuff in the score today.
It's that Adam White's favourite tournament that we were talking about.
Top 15.
The Turkish Airlines Open, part of the European Rolex Series.
I don't fully understand. So Eddie's in the third round.
Yeah.
So he's made the cut. He's going okay. He gets to the fourth and the second shot needs... You've got to hit over water. It's quite a brave shot, similar to what you usually play.
Well, I'll be very good.
Patrick Harrington had a 10 earlier in the competition.
Opening round.
And Martin Keimer was playing with him, and he explains it. So Eddie just kept putting him in the water and got to about 10 shots. Martin was lost count. And then Eddie comes up to him and goes, I've run out of balls. And your man Martin goes, what? So that's disqualification.
It is.
And I can't understand, why he wouldn't have more balls in his bag. I mean, these bags do carry a lot. And why his caddy couldn't...
They're big bags.
...subtly go up to the other caddy and go, slip me a Nike 3. I need my man's to run out of balls.
Integrity. You can't do that. It's an integrity issue.
So he cracked it and...
Why couldn't you do that?
Exactly.
Because you're not allowed.
You're not allowed to borrow someone else's golf ball.
Not allowed to borrow their clubs. Not allowed to borrow the ball. You can't do it.
But what when you suddenly go, just drop a couple on the ground
I reckon that's ridiculous that you can't borrow someone else's golf ball.
But how's that cheating?
I do that all the time.
Well, but you're not playing for competition for squillions of dollars either. The rules are the rules.
He must only had about half a dozen pills in the bag.
Well, I think that's all they carry, normally.
I don't think they sort of factor in that they're going to lose six balls around a golf.
It's not like you go to the Nash and you think, oh, there's teacher every here. I need 20 balls here.
Your bag just collects stuff. There's stuff from 8 years ago in my bag.
I've got a couple of hot
Gatorade
dots.
Gatorade bottles.
Yeah.
A couple of hot dots you could have used.
I'd be sacking the caddy going, mate, you got to
Well, I think there was a suggestion that he may have done it intentionally.
Because he
didn't want to play anymore.
Well.
Still ran out of balls.
Because if you won't run out of balls, you have to... That's it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
I think he may have...
Failed to finish a hole.
I think he may have just...
Said, made it up.
Yep. The only way I can sort of walk off the course here and crack it is by hitting all my balls in the water so I'm officially disqualified.
Oh, well.
Once you hit the second in, I think I might as well hit the rest of them. You know, I don't want to really walk around for the weekend not in contention.
But as the...
Eddie Pepper's a bit like that.
Well, he's 28, you're a young guy, and as you point out, it's a very big tournament on the Rolex, so it wasn't like it was just some dodgy pro-am.
He is fantastic for golf, Eddie, because he is so different. So he's a different...
But yeah, the Martin Keimer explaining it was very funny. Yeah. It's like, okay, four, and then he did it again, and then he didn't look happy, and then it got to 10, and I lost count.
I do remember very early on in the Moona Links exercise, before it was an Australian Open course.
Yes.
Matt Stewart and I went down there to have a hit. And
our man, Matt Stewart.
Our man.
Yeah.
I don't know his golf prowess.
Oh, no, Matt's a very natural player. Think Bubba Watson when you think of Matt Stewart.
Bubba Watson. Left-hander.
Left-hander like me.
And he forgot to bring golf balls with him.
Oh, the old chestnut.
The old chestnut.
Oh, can I have a...
I'll have a round of golf.
And the guy in the pro shop said, oh, well, you're going to have to get quite a few because if you hit the ball off the fairway, it's gone. Because the course had only just sort of been opened. So he got, I think he got 7 or 8, sort of, you know how you get them all off the rack.
The dollar ones.
Yeah, and they said, oh, you might need
a bit
few more than that. He said, are you serious? So anyway, he got 24 of them. He had to reload.
After night.
Well, I don't think the night got back to the...
Yeah.
He'd run out of balls halfway through.
24.
That's unfortunate. Mm.
Matt Stewart hits the driver off the deck. He's that sort of player.
Well, clearly, into the trees, clearly, if he's hitting 24 balls
in the
first nine. Driver off the
deck's impressive.
When he's on, Matt Stewart's on. He's got a lot of scope, like Daniel Hufford.
No, I've got no scope.
I didn't know he He's a man of many tricks, Matthew.
Well, you just never know what he's up to. You never know what he's up to. It's what we love about him. Can't get enough of him. Joined by two special guests. Brad Fisher was a champ with the Blues, 99 games of the best. And if there was an award for Assistant Coach of the Year in the AFLW, he would get it.
I wondered why we got
he
Brad.
Would
That's
get
the
it.
Real reason, isn't
the
it?
Fish Lips from the Players Association and Steve Shepherd from 2.0 who helped running the
Steve got a link
transition
to the
camp.
AFLW Blues or not?
I'm not sure if Steve does, but we'll welcome the boys to the program. Good morning, boys.
Good morning. Morning, half.
Great to have you with us. What's been happening? Firstly, Steve, for you, do you have a link to the Blues?
No, I don't. No, sorry, Daniel.
Right, no.
That's positive.
We do work with the Blues, but that's
there we go.
Them,
there
but,
we
so.
Are. Well, there's a link. That's close enough.
I thought we'd get them mentioned.
That's close enough. So what your reason for being... 2.0 is a reason for supporting this, Steve. Why do you get involved in this transition camp?
We've been working with them now for 3 years, and I guess it goes back. Our business was originally founded to provide support to young people making the transition from education into trying to find a career. You know, the kids who, you know, got a degree and don't know what to do with it, or yep. leaving high school and no real clue. And we started getting a few of the kids coming through from the under-18s who'd kind of put all of their effort into trying to make the big leagues and then hadn't quite made it and had no plan B. So, you know, started working with these young men and trying to help them figure out what to do next, and that kind of led us to some conversations with the PA, and I think it was pretty timely at the time we connected with Brad that, you know, they were really looking at this issue of transition and how important it is for players, and were putting together basically the blueprint for this camp, and through a number of conversations we collaborated around, you know, how we can really kind of help the PA yep. make an effective transition into careers using our career coaching experience,
which I imagine would be very, very helpful and very well received by the players, because whilst there's formal training to a degree done through their careers and that however long that lasts, this is an interesting phase, isn't it? And you would have experienced that and helped a lot of people through this.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I mean, whether you know, whatever transition you're going from, when you're suddenly out of a job and you're trying to figure out what next, you've got lots of people who are offering you advice. Some of it's well-intended, some of it's, you know, might have some biases, particularly with players who might have clubs trying to attract them to come and play and yep. offering all sorts of things. And so really kind of, you know, they're used to having the club tell them what to do, where to go, and all of a sudden they're there, they're cut, you know, and they're out on their own. So having somebody in their court who's kind of saying, let's just unpack all of this and figure out what's going to be the right move. So you make one transition rather than, you know, just jumping into something because it's there and quickly on offer. So,
yeah.
So really trying to help them figure out what's going to be, you know, a lasting career for them rather than just finding their next job as well.
What's your number one piece of advice? What's the starting point for these guys?
I would say start early in your career in the club. We see a lot of players who've, you know, had a lot of opportunities. We know that most people, whatever their age is, they're going to find their role through their network, and the clubs provide this massive network, and yet a lot of the players don't take advantage of it. They kind of see as, I've got to go to the rooms, I've got to go talk to sponsors and supporters, but actually these guys are, you know, future hires, and they're probably not the ones who are going to give them the job, but they know somebody who knows somebody.
Yeah.
So my best advice would be to start early in your career before you're cut and put it in. But if you haven't done that, then, you know, just get some professional advice. You spend your whole year being coached by experts. This next transition should be no different, and hopefully that's where we play a role in bringing our career expertise of how you get a job, how you interview, how you write a resume, all of those kind of things that are important, how you use your network and even kind of have that conversation to let people know what you're doing. So
Brett,
yeah.
You didn't do a great job of this, given you ended up working under Daniel Hart. Disaster.
Yeah, you got pretty desperate.
Not the first player to hit rock bottom and find another outlet. But we got the so as a PA, as an industry fish, do we understand this transition a bit better now?
Yeah, I think we do. I think players highlighted that mental health and transition were probably the two main areas they wanted us to focus on.
Yep.
You know, I've been in this role for 6 years, and players are definitely transitioning in out of the game better and better every year, and that's to do with, you know, the support and the importance that clubs put on player development and individuals developing themselves whilst they're playing, so they can maximise your opportunity. And, yeah, it's definitely on the way up, and, you know, this camp's just a small part of that.
And the mindset of, like Steve was saying before, about doing this, organising yourself for post while you're actually living it, is that becoming a bit easier for players to comprehend now and they're actually keen to do it rather than wait till the end and then go, oh, bloody hell, I'm going to get rolling?
Yeah, I think so. There's still a bit of a mix there. I mean, we've got 800 players on the list, 800 male, and now 400 female players on list. So everybody comes from different backgrounds with different maturity levels, and you know, they're ready to sort of look at that piece at different times. And then others are, you know, trying to just hang on to a footy career with, you know, with both hands as much as they can and putting their eggs in that basket. And to an extent, we understand that. But so far, you know, every player becomes a past player. So the earlier that they can make the switch in their mind and sort of invest in themselves away from footy, you know, the better their transition is going to be.
It's an interesting time for players. Like, there's the players that when they finish, they just don't feel like they're ready to finish, and they think they've got more left in them, that there's that element of almost bitterness of, I don't want to move on yet because I don't think my time is ready. How difficult is that, having those conversations with those young men? When they just think it's not my time, when it is their time.
Yeah, it can be difficult. So we meet with players within 48 hours of retirement, delisting, and you know, often players will harbour ambitions to get straight back into the game, and, you know, we'll say to them, we'll talk to you today as though you're not going to get back in the system, but if you do, you know, we're hoping you do, if that's what you want to do. But, yeah, it can be pretty hard. You know, we put a lot of programs in place, and often someone will say to me, oh, we need to get players in their last year of their contract. Well, when's the last year of your contract? The average age you come out of the game is 24. You're not thinking, you know, that's going to be the end of your footy career. So it's certainly, yeah, it's got its challenges in that aspect.
I'm interested, half in you expanding a little bit more about the amateur system through the VAFA, where players, they finish their AFL career, they go and play amateur football, but part of that is that they get jobs. And sort of marry that up against the footballer that finishes playing and then goes and earns, you know, somewhere between 40 and 60 grand cash often playing local football, and how that can actually stunt the next phase of your life. Whereas the amateur football, it's quite a good setup.
Yeah, well, you make a choice, don't you? You work for 3 or 4 years, play footy for 3 or 4 years after your career, or 5 years, however long it is, and you make 20, 30 grand out of that cash. But what happens after that? You're not actually investing in your future by doing that. And this is one of the things that, and even suburban competitions are understanding these days, that the cash is a nice thing for the players to have, perhaps for the weekend, but if they don't have a career to look forward to, they'll move around anyway. You won't keep them for long anyway. So if you can invest in them and get them opportunities through career prospects, they are the ones that will stick around. The amateurs have been doing that forever, Scotty.
Uni Blacks, it's a network still. You
got a job at Herald Sun on the back of your brilliance at Uni Blacks.
Oh, I won a premiership.
Dylan Buckley has been good enough to join us on the Breakfast Club this morning. We know him from the Blues, from the Giants, and these days Dylan and Friends is dominating the podcast space, just going absolutely gangbusters. And with alongside him is Craig Parker from AIA Vitality, who are supporting the transition camp. Boys, good morning to you.
Morning.
Morning, boys.
Craig, can I ask you first, why are AIA involved with this? How did that happen, and why do you think it's good for your business?
Well, AIA is a leading life insurer here in Australia, protecting over 3.5 million customers. But we totally understand that comes with some responsibility, and that responsibility is around preventative care as well as rehab, making sure that we can get people back to work after they suffer a claim. So, you know, looking at how we can actually support the AFL, the Players Association, the role that they play in reference to activity, getting people out and about, is a nice fit for ourselves. Also the role in community. And we see that there's a clear linkage between what we do and, of course, the Players Association.
And is it a new association with you,
yes,
your new relationship?
Correct, it is.
And how did that come about? How do these things happen for a company your size?
Vitality was launched 5 years ago as a wellbeing program to understand more about your health and actually get people back on track. And, of course, through that association, through our ambassador program, Chris Jard, Shane Crawford, and, of course, the way that we linkage into the wellness with set up a relationship with the Players Association.
Fantastic. And Dil, we caught up a couple of years ago, and about this time.
We did, mate.
You're back again, the carryover champ.
That's what we're saying. This camp's been going for 3 years. I've been here twice. I'm a bit of a veteran here. I was saying off there before, I think they're putting the statue up next year. So,
but you weren't actually retired then.
I wasn't retired then. I suppose I was forced retirement now. But I was obviously in a pretty crazy place two years ago. And yeah, finished up my time at Carlton, really had no sort of pathway, and this sort of camp really, really set me up for what was next. And I was obviously blessed with an opportunity, and I really just used the last 2 years of my career to implement everything I learned at this camp. And I couldn't thank the AFLP enough for that. And obviously AIA, incredible sponsorship coming on board as well. They've been absolutely incredible. So the camp for me was amazing, and just coming back this year has just been awesome to sort of, for me, more sit through it again and just so tick off, like, yeah, geez, I've actually been implementing that the last 2 years and I feel good, ready to go.
So what was the penny that dropped? Like you said, you came here, you're a bit like, oh, I don't know what's going on, and you left here 2 years ago. What actually clicked?
Yeah, it's a funny one. Like, you can be told something a million times. Yeah, everyone says that, you know, careers go quickly.
Plan your life. Yeah, your footy doesn't last forever.
You hear the same thing every time. But I suppose until it actually hits you that you've got to do that. It's funny because, in a way, the best thing that ever happened to me was get delisted once, got picked up again, and my last four contracts were one-year deals. So, to be honest, I didn't have a choice. Every day I was thinking, what's next? Yeah. And by the end of the day, it got to the stage where it was more comfortable for me to actually go another path, because like I'd found passions outside of footy when I was at the Giants, and they probably wouldn't love me saying this, but you know, it was nearly my second job. I was just hustling as at home, and after training before that, then I'd get to the club and go, all right, I'll come train with the boys, and I'd always say to the boys as soon as I left, all right, work starts, I'll see you boys tomorrow.
Well, it seemed to work out pretty well for you, though.
I'm really happy, and I'm honestly saying is that it wouldn't have happened without this 2 years ago. This camp has just been absolutely incredible. We sit down, we go through our financials, we go through resumes, we go through networking, and then obviously today is a huge day, and again, AI have been incredible in this, helping us out, but we sit down with a lot of people who come and, you know, they present jobs and opportunities that if it suits us, we can follow up. And you know, I know at least 10 to 15 guys that got opportunities for that last year. And for me right now, I've sort of worked out what I want to do, but just to come here and network and meet these guys again. And the good thing is here, they have a free tab for the bar as well. So that's pretty fun. That's pretty fun most nights.
Scotty, I want to ask you, 2 years ago, what were the anxiety levels like coming to something like this, not knowing what was ahead of you?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, it was high. I was always ready to... Both times I finished footy, I was pretty ready to not do it again. And I was always wanted another opportunity with the Giants, and I was so, so blessed that it did happen, because it gave me another 2 years to live my dream and probably go, yeah, awesome, I've done that now. But, yeah, it was pretty high, to be honest. Like, it's crazy. Like, we're so lucky, and I'm not saying that's hard thing at all, but lucky enough to buy a house at a young age and earn a good income and whatnot. But then once you leave, 6 years down the track, and it just went like that. Mm. And you sort of just don't really know what you want to do next, and you've got bills, and it's pretty scary.
So how hard is it to change your lifestyle from someone that's earning good money to being in the position you're in now? Like, I talk to a lot of players about the fact that, you know, they're earning more money at 22 than they're going to earn at 42. It's meant to be the other way around in the circle of life. How hard is it to make those sort of adjustments?
Yeah, well, what I'd say to them is get delisted, go to the Giants, get on rookie wages and live in Sydney, and you work out how to live on a low budget.
Yeah.
So I've had a pretty, like I said, I was never on incredible money, but it is a shock to the system going from 18 to being able to buy whatever you sort of need and want to, you know, I was living in Sydney this year, and it couldn't have worked better for me, to be honest, but I was on, obviously, rookie wages living there, had to really learn how to budget, so it's... My last 3 years of my career have literally been the best transition that I could really ask for. And I know that I would have loved to be on 500 grand, but, you know, it sort of probably taught me those skills that now that next year I don't have to worry about that and I can still get along.
Because there'll be a lot of people that are listening, Scotty, thinking, oh, well, you know, I'm doing this. I don't earn good money and I've had to work it out. But for a lot of these guys that have come through, they haven't had to worry about it. They haven't had to
work it
out, because some people at 19, 20 years of age are earning $500,000 a year.
And as you know, they don't know about insurance, Craig. Mm. The normal punter struggles to figure out insurance, and for you to be able to tell them,
well, I do. That's a good point.
In saying that, Craig, we need to have a chat off.
But you're spot on in reference to the education and the importance of insurance. I think us as Australians, we see ourselves as superhuman. She'll be right. Nothing will happen to us. And we've all been impacted with times where something has happened and it's resulted in people not being able to work, or even worse, that they've died. And the importance of insurance, that role that plays, not only for the individual but also for their family, is really, really key. So for us, I think we also need to change the conversation. This is where, from an AIA point of view, we take it very seriously, is that looking at, yes, we need to be there at claim time and that education piece, but how do we actually educate someone to actually take better of their health? Physical activity is one part, but also mental awareness to ensure that you're actually understanding what makes you tick and how do you actually make yourself a better you. And we know that through those sort of education programs, we can actually, you know, make Australia live healthier and happier lives.
Dil, you mentioned you figured out the pathway. What is it other than the great podcast which rocks the world? Where are you heading?
Mate, so one thing that I've always known from transitioning, I never wanted something that was every day. I think that as footy players, we've got so much variety, so I wanted to keep that. I'd love to transition to the media. One of your jobs would be nice.
Scott is to be up for grabs after that.
So, yeah.
You've got to drive a lot.
Definitely. The end goal is the media. I'd love the radio. I love producing side as well behind it.
If you want to produce.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Job for life.
I'm going to go back and I love doing some public speaking, and I've got my podcast obviously as well. So, the next 12 months for me is just really working that out. I think I'm not putting any pressure on it, but we'll just see what happens.
Well, he's the king of cashies, so you've got to start.
I've heard that.
Hosting gigs?
No, not me.
What are you doing after this show?
I'm hosting, but something important right now.
For free?
Always. Yeah. So helping Raiden tell us out, because he's a Sports Ready champion, doing great things for transitioning players, has been forever. It's his life mission. It's his life goal, Raiden tell us. This is his baby. He protects this more than his family. He loves it. Craig, the characteristics and traits that these guys have that are enticing to employers in the big, wide, big, bad world of business that they don't perhaps understand fully. How difficult is it to get through to them that they do have some opportunities and skills that they bring with them that they perhaps haven't thought of?
Very important. I think, the traits that players have are core in the professional world. And that's about leadership. It's about asking the question. It's actually taking charge, but more importantly, it's working as a team, actually ensuring that you're looking after your mate and actually getting the job done. Mm. We all work very, very busy, an active world, and you know, a lot of people are saying they're working, you know, 37, no longer 24/7.
Yep.
So the importance of actually being there for your mate, working with your mate, and actually driving that story through is really important. I think from a player taking that into the actual, the actual business world is key.
Manny Lobie, he's played 100 games. That's what he's played. 92 at the Power, 8 at the Blues. Ends up on a very round number, Scotland.
I love that.
And he's been good enough to join us this morning. Good morning, Matty.
Morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
It's a nice number to finish.
Oh, I was going to say, was there stress about getting to the three figures?
There definitely was. I was in the 90s for almost 4 years. So I was glad to tick over.
just happy to do it in singles as opposed to a band.
I would like to play a few more, but definitely happy.
So have you resigned to the fact that it is over?
No, not really.
Not yet?
I heard...
You're not supposed to be at this camp.
No. It worked well for Dylan.
Went to the wrong golf club.
Mickey Barlow was on the panel the other night, and he sort of said the same thing. He said, when you still feel like you're good enough to play, it's very hard to to feel like you're still not a tiny, tiny little chance.
Yeah, well, that's right. And it's an interesting conversation. We were talking about it before, that even if there is no chance, but you still feel... Yep. That you're good enough. It's hard to let go sometimes and get your head around the fact that what was is no longer.
Definitely. I mean, I'm excited about a lot of other things I want to do, but I still feel like I'm good enough, and I'm not sure when that's going to finish.
Have you had any conversations with other clubs that there might be another opportunity for you?
A couple. Probably some of the movements have probably did open up some spots, and then they were taken in terms of the ruck stock. So there might still be a slight chance for the draft, but... I've definitely been talking to the VFL clubs, and that's probably where I'm going to settle at a standalone VFL club.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm really keen to talk to you, Matthew, because I think you are a really fascinating story there. In that great year you had at Port Adelaide, the great year that Port Adelaide had, you were All-Australian ruckman at about round 14, and then you've had some injuries, and that made life hard for you.
Yep.
Take us back to that time where you were one of the most dominant ruckmen in the competition, which was only... 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it was a time for Port when everything went right. We hadn't had any success, and then we had some great people come in. We had Kenny and Virgo and some really good players as well, and everything sort of clicked. We were at a point as a group where we were just ready to jump on to something, and Kenny came in and was just like very black and white, and everything sort of worked, and we had a great time. And I still feel like, you know, we were pretty close to getting into a granny, and we could have won that one, so that's still, that one still hurts. But yeah, for me personally, I feel like I trained just as hard every year, and they were the years where it all came together. And then after that, it didn't work out exactly how I wanted. But
so what happened?
I mean, I did have a couple of injuries. Paddy Ryder came in and played some great footy, which hurt me being able to play full game time. And definitely, I was at my best when I was out there the whole time, and could get to heaps of ruck contests. And I felt like I'm the same sort of player whether I play 50% game time or 100. So
yeah,
that hurt me. And then the last few years, I've probably had that issue as well in the aligned clubs, not being able to play full game time. So.
Because, I mean, I know that, you know, you're in this position now where you don't know where it's going to happen, but yeah. I'm interested in how, not so much how you sleep at night, but how much do you think about what might have been or what it was and it wasn't that long ago? Do you sort of, do you get bitter about it or are you comfortable about it?
No, I definitely went through
a lot of it is about opportunity.
Yeah, I went through a couple of bitter stages, but, I mean, I've had to sort of embrace where I'm at, and I think I've done that really well, and I've been proud of that, and the time I've spent in the VFL and the SANFL, like, I've really embraced it, and felt like I've played some really good footy as well there, and I've enjoyed working with a lot of younger players, and I've sort of got a lot of satisfaction out of that, and I've had to, otherwise it would have been unhappy. So
yeah, because I mean, I know I remember a time where you were central to a lot of trade discussions about, I think it was going to the Western Bulldogs there at one point, and there's a couple of other clubs, and Port Adelaide wouldn't let you go, and you're on a really long-term deal. But then Paddy Ryder comes along. So a lot of it was out of your hands when it came to opportunity and how your career was actually going to pan out. It's all about being right place, right time sort of thing.
Yeah, it is, especially for a ruckman. I think there's a lot of the best ruckmen in the last 10 years that when they've played full game time, they've played really well.
Yep.
Like, say, like a Goldstein and a Jacobs and... it might have been different if they didn't have that opportunity, but they were good enough to hold it the whole time. So it is about opportunity, but I still feel pretty satisfied that I've done everything I possibly can. I couldn't have trained harder or played much better, I don't think, that was in my control.
Yeah.
So in terms of this camp, have you already started your transition, or are you Dylan Buckley? I've got no idea. I'm just here to for a lightning bolt to hit me and then we'll sort it out.
No, I have. I sort of was... try to be as upfront as I could with the Carlton guys about if it was going to end. So I sort of prepared that it might, and it doesn't mean I'm any closer to working out what I want to do work-wise or what I'm going to do exactly, but I've been able to have a lot of conversations with people and work through some options, and then I went away to Europe for a month, so I've just come back from
that.
That got in the way.
It can't get
why
in the way.
Not?
Well, exactly. So what have you been doing through your AFL career to give yourself a chance, like education, study, job? What have you been doing through your time playing?
So I've studied the whole way through. I did a Bachelor of Business early days, and then I've been doing my Master's of Business for the last 3 years. So working on that, and I've enjoyed that. I like studying, so that's sort of been a bit of an outlet for me out of the footy environment, and I've done some work placement as well at a finance company and then a coffee company as well, and a couple of little things, and that's probably part of that's been about what I don't want to do and then ticking that off.
But that's an important part of it though, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you're lucky, you get exposed to some employers that are really good and let you go into their business and they show you around, and you don't have to do too much hard work, but you get to see all the good parts of it. So
yeah.
But that helped me. Some of them helped me go, yeah, I don't want to do that. You know, I don't want to work at a big corporate, even though they've been really good to me. I don't want to. So.
Remember when you had to do work experience in year 10 at school?
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, I went to a bank. I don't know why.
A bank?
It was in Colac. There's not a lot of options. And I was like, you man, I was there for like half an hour. I go, oh, no. Well, tick this off. We're not working at a bank.
No, I
didn't.
Did you
do work experience?
Yeah, I did it with Darren Lehman at the Victorian Cricket Association.
Oh, that's... doing what? What was his role?
Well, I'm not sure what he was doing.
Throwing balls to Darren Lehman at lunch break.
He didn't do much, and neither did I, as a result.
But what did you offer us out here?
I was in the Channel 10 newsroom.
Oh, well,
of course you were.
A bit more exciting.
Yeah, I spent the week with Tim Gossage at out at footy trainings. And
Sausage.
Actually went to court one day for a murder trial. Well, that was a bit sort of confounding.
Tom Nicholls with us, who is with the Gold Coast Suns for 45 games over his tenure in the AFL. He's joined us on The Breakfast Club. Good morning, Tom.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Definitely first being in a hotel lobby for an interview. What's that stage you got here?
Because normally we're used to AFL players trying to dodge and weave out of the way, so we thought we'd plonk ourselves in the middle of it.
Did Max Stevens grab you in the car on the way?
Tom's been in Queensland. He doesn't. Well, even he knows Stevens.
Tom Brown would be sniffing around somewhere.
I'm surprised you only played 45 games. I thought you'd
been there forever.
Minimum double.
Something like, mate, yeah. Nah, it was up there for a long time, but, yeah, a few things didn't go my way, and, yeah, unfortunately couldn't quite get the 50 or the 100 like the big lobster before, but, yeah, enjoyed every one of them and very grateful for it, obviously.
You started like a house on fire, and then a few injuries got in your way, and then all of a sudden it turned to the Shizen pretty quick. How have you dealt with the challenges of just your career, ups and downs of your career?
Upon reflection, which I've had a little bit of time for, it's something I've somewhat been proud of. Obviously, not proud of the number of games, would love to have played more. But, like everything in life, when you have those challenges, that's what it's all about, isn't it? How you respond to them and getting yourself back up and picking yourself off the deck.
So. The last couple of years in particular, how tough were they been?
A couple of years ago I did the shoulder, so I was wiped out for the whole season. But, funnily enough, last year played every game in the twos and had a great time. Bit of a different role, mentoring some of the younger boys and helping them and seeing them grow was quite rewarding personally. But obviously not the ultimate goal of playing senior footy.
Now, the Gold Coast intrigues everyone. We all sit down here and go, especially our friend here, he's a very critical... You've seen the whole thing. In a couple-minute answer, why hasn't it worked? What's gone wrong? How can it work? Or will it ever work?
Oh, yeah, I believe it'll definitely work. It's a million-dollar question, isn't it? I think... In a two-sentence answer, it's or a two-word answer, it's just poor timing.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. It's like a lot of things in life. Sometimes you've got to be in the right place at the right time. We've definitely had a great list. A lot of those boys got injuries early on. Just didn't click with a lot of things.
I mean, Gazza got injured at the wrong time. Like, little picks of momentum sort of got cut off.
Yeah. But I think they're definitely on the right path now, and unfortunately they lost quite a good few players, so I might just take that bit extra.
You were there for the first year?
Yeah, whole dance.
Yeah, been up there. I was up there in 2010 through the VFL year.
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, 10 years now, mate. I've got we finished school up there and got the 10-year school reunion up there next year. Interesting.
The culture of the place, you know, sporting teams don't work. I mean, we don't really understand. Is that... an overgeneralisation, or...?
It's one of those things. You just can't pigeonhole it to one thing. I obviously can't compare it to any other clubs, but from what you hear from teammates and stuff, there's definitely differences. But in saying that, there still are some of the greatest people in the world up there in charge and having an influence. So, yeah, it's just like any team. Once that chemistry comes together and, the communication's fully there, I think... Yeah, they'll start to have a bit of success. It's funny, I was talking to some of the boys about this, and we sort of concluded on once they do get it right, it'll be like the destination club.
Oh, absolutely.
There's no better place to play footy. The humidity's disgusting, but once you get used to that, that's really nice lifestyle up there.
So how have you been living up there? What have you been doing? Keep yourself busy in preparation for this phase, this transition period. What have you been up to?
Yeah, I guess I was always pretty lucky, Half. Mum and Dad banged home the importance for education for me. So I started studying, I think it was the first year. The first year I finished school up there. So, graduate my commerce degree in Jan. And then, so that kept me busy most of the time. Tried to surf up there, but 6'8" bloke doesn't go too well in the water on a board. So, yeah, that wasn't very successful.
And where are you going to base yourself? Obviously on the Gold Coast the last 10 years. Will you stay up there? Will you move back home? Where will you base yourself?
Yeah, I'll come back home to Melbourne. So, yeah, I've got Mum and Dad in Cheltenham. But, I'll come back with the missus and, we'll find a place in sort of South Yarra there, a bit closer to the city, and then, take it from there.
And what's the future hold for you? You've got a commerce degree, but what's it going to do for you?
I like this question. As I said, graduating Jan, my girlfriend's working in an accounting firm up there, so she's applied for a transfer already to come back home. I want to do investment banking for a couple of years, cut my teeth, get some experience, and then keen to head over to New York. 2022.
Another one who doesn't have to be...
Well, he's very in control of the proceedings. He's got a plan.
Yeah.
Only the plan's planning to fail, Scotty. You know that.
No, New York. That's the place to be. Wall Street.
That's the plan anyway. We'll see how we're going in 2 years.
We have one of the former greats of the club.
We do. 169-game star of the Saints, David Armitage, joins us at the AFL Transition Camp. Good morning, David.
Good morning, guys.
Would have been better ranked if you were still on the list, I suggest.
I would have thought so. Maybe one up.
Maybe one spot.
Another bit of depth there. Some real quality through the midfield. How are you feeling about life, Army?
Not bad at the moment. I'm feeling good, actually. I've put a few kilos on, but I'm feeling nice and relaxed.
Just be careful, it's a slippery slide.
Nice, relaxed, so
you could say I'm really enjoying life at the moment. It's really good. I've had some time to sort of think about what I want to do next, and met with a lot of local footy clubs, and basically for me, I just said it was about my career, and I've actually... come up and nutted it out to an opportunity I've got a job as a sales consultant, and I'll be playing for Collegians in the VAFA.
The AMOs.
Nice AMOs, work. Which will be cool.
Nice work. In fact, I think the AMOs signed a couple of big names last week, didn't they?
I think so.
Who else?
May have got Dave Mirror.
Yeah, Dave Mirror.
Oh, yeah.
That was the word.
Yep.
There's another one too.
There was another one. I'll stand by. I'll find out who that was.
But this is all about transition, this whole camp. Mm. But it sounds like you've had that in your head for a little while. You didn't hit the middle of this year and suddenly realise, or am I paraphrasing?
In regards to...
So transition, that the AFL is coming to an end and you've got to start thinking about
it. It was probably... Well, certainly I did think about it then, thinking that if it did come to an end... I'd be ready. I'd have, I was already doing some stuff at Seek once a week. So just in case it happened.
Yeah.
But I still had that little bit of hope that I would go on. But at the end of the year, sitting down with the powers to be, it was sort of not looking like that. So, I'd already planned for it anyway, which was good. I've sort of got everything in plan, but I still wanted to come to this transition camp and because you'd never know what you get out of these things. Mm. And I've got a lot out of it. I've written some things down, even if it's just a few small things, and listening to the guest speakers and how to sort of treat people and what people are sort of after in the business world. So you can only learn at these things, and I'm definitely glad that I came.
Were you a planner when you were young, or were you just fully consumed by your AFL career?
No, I had it in the back of my mind, definitely. Obviously, you got to give almost 100% to footy because, you got to rock up every day with, energy and, the will to improve. So, but in the back of your mind, I sort of made sure I ticked something off every year, level, even if it was a level two coaching case, I went into coaching, a cert four or a diploma in something. Just every year, I made sure I ticked something off. So at the end, the CV would look half decent.
Yeah. And it looks half decent, does it?
Yeah, it does. It does. And, I got a little bit of help with, the ladies at Seek to help me do my CV, and it looks pretty good. I got a job, so that's a good thing.
That's always a positive.
Yeah.
It's scary how quickly time goes. I remember calling you in the under-18 championships playing for Queensland. It doesn't feel like that long ago. And I just looking back now, it's 2005, I think it is.
Mm.
Pick 9. You look back, are you proud at what you've been able to achieve, 170 games of AFL footy?
Oh, absolutely, I am. And that's the other thing. I sort of thought, I should have played 200, I should have done this, should have done that. But at the end of the day, I was just a young kid from Mackay who then left home when he was 16 to move to Brizzy to further his footy career. And I just thought, that's a good thing. To then work hard and get drafted at number 9 and, spend 13 years in the system, I couldn't be more proud. So, it was good. It has gone quick, though, that's the thing.
It's crazy.
Crazy.
And towards the end of your career, you were battling injury, which went from being a prolific ball winner for St Kilda to really just struggling because of your body.
Mm.
Now you get to this point. Does the anxiety of sort of swimming against the tide, does it leave your body? Does it leave your brain? Or do you still, is it almost conditioned that it's still that? Because it was a bit uphill battle towards the end.
Yeah, I had a bit going on. It never leaves you, that's for sure. It's, I suppose, things that you learn throughout the years are ingrained in you. Whether it's having a few beers and then the next day I'm in the shed on the bike trying to sweat it out. Like, I just can't help it. It's just ingrained into you. So I suppose that's a good thing. But, yeah, in regards to the body, you know, woke up this morning, my back was a little bit sore, things like that. But, you know, I don't have to go and, you know, do a 3-4 hour sort of training session. I can, you know, go for a run on my own terms and do weights on my own terms, which is really good. So, yeah, I'll be right.
You went on a little adventure, this retirement. You played at the top end. Can you tell us through that experience of Darwin football in, what is it, September, October?
Yeah, well, I used to live with Raph Clark, who is, you know, obviously from Darwin, the Clark family, and I said when I lived with him that when I finished, I'd come and play a game for St. Mary's.
Hoping he never remembered.
Hoping he never remembered. But he definitely did and said, you know, are you coming up? And I said, oh, I'll come up fishing and I'll play a game. So that game then, you know, oh, we need you to play 5 to qualify. And I'm like, oh, I just want to play one game. But they've somehow roped me into coming up again. So I'll go play another 2. But it was a fantastic experience. And speaking to guys, that ex-teammates and guys from other clubs that have gone up and played, that, you know, that you don't play for cash or anything like that. You're literally going up there for the love of the game. And I don't know why it's so hot, but you get to go fishing with the boys, and, you know, they show you their, you know, their proud roots, and there's nothing better than, you know, camping out in the wilderness and looking at the stars. So it's a really good experience, and one that I'm glad that I have done, and I'm going to do a few more, so it's good.
Does it let you appreciate why you fell in love with the game in the first place? Because it's a business when you play in the AFL, and it's pretty controlled, pretty intense, a lot of pressure goes with it, but up there, you're just playing.
Yeah, you're just playing, and you're not getting, you know, messages come down the phone to chase or anything like that, which is so good. It's still in the back of your mind that you should be chasing, and, you know, it's ingrained, you want to work hard. But, yeah, oh, nah, not chasing for me. I came off the bench, and I cramped at the best of times, and it was so hot. And I said to one of the fellas on the bench, I said, mate, can I get a gel or a Powerade? And he goes, this isn't the AFL, mate. So I had to go source my own stuff. But, yeah, mate, it was just the experience, just sitting behind the ball and not really doing too much was pretty good.
Did you enjoy the last couple of years? We were talking before about fighting your own body and against it. What's it like when, you know, you were a leader at St Kilda? Mm. In fact, I don't want to use that in past tense. You are a leader. How difficult was it, and do you enjoy it?
Yeah. It's a tough one. I tried to think about it the other day when I stopped really enjoying it, and it became a bit of a grind, and, you know, even to the extent of the last year, and I don't think I've really shared this with anyone, but the last year, you know, I only played 2 games in the AFL, but even those 2 games, the VFL, I was rocking up, you know, the night before going to my missus, I really could not be bothered playing tomorrow, which, you know, isn't a great thing to be doing, but sometimes that's the reality, and sometimes you end up not falling out of love with the game, but just, you know, the rigours of, you know, bashing your body, getting up again week after week, and then, you know, not playing in the ones and not, you know, seeing a bit of a light was certainly disappointing, and I look back and I go, why did I think like that? But it was just the time I was in, and it is what it is, and I'm just glad now that I can go and enjoy footy and you know, not have to do too much to try and win every week and you know, bash yourself by doing it over the head and physically.
So how hard was it then towards the end of your career, someone that was such a vocal leader, a strong leader in the football club, where you, if you had to stand up to Nick Riewoldt, you'd stand up to Nick Riewoldt, to be in a situation where you're playing VFL and not enjoying it? Can you still have that presence in a football club?
Yeah, absolutely. And I made sure I didn't show that to anyone else, especially my playing peers. I was always up. I was always making sure I was still trying to help improve the young guys as much as, you know, I didn't want to be out there. I didn't not say anything. I didn't not lead still. I still made sure that, you know, I led by example. And showed them that, you know, the right way to go about it, even if mentally I was sort of not, you know, enthused to be out there, but I certainly didn't waver in showing the guys, you know, what a good leader does and that kind of thing.
What about your old club? Your club, They've done a lot in the last month or so. It, on paper, it looks pretty exciting.
Oh, I think it's about time, to be honest. We've sort of just always gone to the draft and got the talent, and it hasn't always worked out for us. So, you know, I think it's about time. It's really exciting for the club that, you know, they've put the foot down and they've gone out and got who they wanted, because that's also been an issue in the past. I think Rats attracts people. You know, he's been the Hawthorn and the things he's done previously. So I think that, you know, we're almost a destination club now, which is really good. And these guys coming here have shown that people will jump on the back of us now, especially if we get some momentum. Members will come out of the woodwork, as they do.
They do.
And then more players will want to come, which is, you know, which is the start of something special, I feel.
That was the best of the Breakfast Club. If you want to hear the full interviews again, go straight to the website, rsn.net.au.